Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parasha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. We begin today's Sefer Shemot with Parashat Shemot. The Parasha opens with the growth of the children of Israel within Mitzrayim. Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, feels threatened by their tremendous growth and enslaves them. Paro commands the two Jewish midwives, Shifra and Pua, to kill all male babies at birth. These two heroic Jewish women refuse to do so, and the next action is Paro commanding to throw all of the Jewish babies into the Nile River. The parasha continues with a child born to Yocheved and Amram of Shevet Levi, who is placed in a basket in the river, while the baby sister Miriam stands watching from afar. Paro's daughter discovers the baby, miraculously saves him from the Nile River, brings him back home to raise him as her own son, and names the baby Moshe. Growing up, Moshe steps out of the palace of Paro and sees the suffering of his brothers, the Jews. Outside, he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew and kills the Egyptian to save the Jew. The next day, he sees two Jews fighting. When he castigates these Jews, they speak of his deed the previous day, and knowing that he's been observed, Moshe flees to Midian. There, he rescues the daughters of Yitro and marries one of them, whose name is Zipporah. He becomes a shepherd for his father-in-law's sheep. Shepherding the sheep, taking them out to pasture, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe in the Sneh, in the burning bush. He instructs him to go to Paro and demand, Shlach et ami v'yavduni, send the Jewish people out that they may serve me. Moshe Rabbeinu protests, eventually accepts this mission, and his brother Aaron is appointed to serve as a spokesman. In Mitzrayim, Moshe and Aaron assemble the Zkenim, the elders of the Jewish people, to tell them that the Geula has come. The redemption is on its way. The people believe, but Paro stubbornly refuses to let them go. And instead of getting better, the situation gets worse, as Paro increases the hardship upon the Jewish people. Moshe returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and protests, Lama harei osa la'am hazeh? Why, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have you done bad to these people? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Moshe Rabbeinu that the Geula, the redemption, is close at hand. This clearly is the Sefer, is the Parasha, that opens the Galut, the exile experience of the Jewish people. As such, by definition, it must be the Sefer that opens the Geula, redemption process of the Jewish people. As the Malbim says elsewhere, Geula, redemption, is born at the very moment that the Galut, the exile, begins, and continues to grow from that point. The Ramban, in his definitive introduction to Sefer Shemot, points out that the first of the five books of the Torah, Sefer Breshit, is called Sefer HaYetzirah, the book of creation. It's the creation of the world and the creation of the Jewish people, where the Avot figure primarily, our forefathers, as the archetype or the model in their experiences of everything that will continue to unfold for the history of the Jewish people. This next Sefer, Shemot, will be the book in which the example that was said in Sefer Breshit unfolds as the model develops events that will unfold as the manifestation of that example to the Jewish people. The Ramban identifies or titles Sefer Shemot as the Sefer of the Galut, but also the Sefer of the Geula. It has to begin with the Galut, which is the arrival of the family of Yaakov to Mitzrayim, where the exile began. And even though that was written already, this is where the Galut starts, and so this is where the story begins. The Ramban makes the very significant point that were this the story of the exile and the redemption, then the entire Sefer should have ended really with Yitziat Mitzrayim, perhaps extend that extra week towards Kriyat Yamsuf, with the Jews singing in triumph on the other side of the Yamsuf. But that's not the case. Because once the Jews are safe and sound, and the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, have drowned at the bottom of the sea, there are many more weeks in which we learn the parashot of Sefer Shemot. And as such, we have to redefine the concept of Geula. Geula, redemption, does not just mean, says the Ramban, having gotten out of the place of danger. Because as the Ramban says, Hinei ha-galut einenu nishlam, ad yom shuvam el mikomam, vel ma'alat avotam yashuvu. The Geula, redemption, process is not complete until the Jews have returned to their place and to the level of their forefathers. Leaving Mitzrayim, they got out of slavery, they got out of danger, but they were still considered exiled people. They were still refugees, they were still fugitives, whatever the word would be, because they were wandering in a desert. But it's not just their physical location that made them still exiled, but there's something deeper and more spiritual. When they came to Har Sinai, says the Ramban, and then they built the Mishkan, Vishav HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Hishcha Shechinato B'neihem. Finally, when they accomplished this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually rested his presence amongst them, that was when they returned to the level of their fathers that has been detailed and chronicled in Sefer Breishit. Because that is when the secret of what the Avot accomplished, of being what is called by Chazal the Milkava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Milkava is a chariot. The function of any vehicle is to transport people or objects from point A to point B. The Avot acted as the human beings who transported or made known the name and presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. When Klal Yisrael finally not only left Egypt, but created a space in this world with the building of the Mishkan, for the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rest amongst them, in the words of the Ramban, Az nechshevu ge'ulim. Only then were they a people who were considered redeemed. Only then were they maximizing their fullest potential. And therefore, says the Ramban, the Sefer of Galut and Geula, which is Sefer Shmot, does not end with the Jews safely out of Mitzrayim, nor with the Egyptians themselves safely buried and spit out from the sea. But rather, it ends with the building of the Mishkan, which will be the pinnacle of their returning to the level of the Avot, of their forefathers, Ubiyot Kvod Hashem Male Oto Tamid, and with the status of the Kvod Shamayim, of the Shechina, of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, filling the Mishkan on a regular basis. This is a paradigm shift. This reframes Geulah as a state that is not dependent on whether we as Jews are slaves or free. It's not dependent even on whether we are in our own land or exiled somewhere else. Uniquely, Galut Yavan, the story of Chanukah, was an exile that took place while the Jews were within Eretz Yisrael, within the land of Israel, and the Beit HaMikdash was standing, which would seem to be the conditions of Geulah, but it was the absence of the Shechina and the ability of the Jews to connect to and reflect the Shechina that defined that era as a time of Galut. Which means that Geulah, as defined by the Ramban, is a state where we as the Jewish people are most set up to accept and to reflect the Shechina, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, as defined by the Rambam and elsewhere, there are conditions that must be met for this to actually take place. The conditions include all of Klal Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael with a king from the family of David HaMelech. All of that has to be. But it is not the conditions which define, but the conditions which create a status where we can be the people who are the Merkava, the chariot, the vehicle, with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is known in this world. I believe that gives us a direction going forward. Our journey through Sefer Shmot will be a journey towards the Shechina. It will be the journey of seeing this entire Sefer, this entire book of 11 weeks, as the journey not just of the Jews out of Egypt, but the journey of the Jews towards becoming the Am HaNivchal, of the journey towards the Jews becoming a people worthy of being the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. It will be the journey towards the Shechina. And that will inform much of our understanding of what is unfolding throughout the coming parashot. For example, in Parashat Shemot, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu is facing the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it reveals itself through the burning bush in the Sneh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relating to Moshe Rabbeinu that he has seen and heard the suffering of Klal Yisrael and is appointing Moshe Rabbeinu to the glorious task of being the messenger to free the Jewish people from their enslavement in Egypt. Resisting somewhat this mission, feeling small for the task, there's the discussion back and forth of the questions of Moshe Rabbeinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about this mission. And in resisting or trying to understand, Moshe Rabbeinu says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Moshe el ha'elokim, Hinei anochi vay el bnei Yisrael, ve'amalti lahem, Elokei avoseichem shlachani aleichem. I will appear to the Jewish people and I will say, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Ve'amru li, and they will ask me, Mashmo, what is the name of this God? Asks Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma omar aleichem, what is the answer I should tell them? Rav Shamshon Aferl Hirsch, over here, tries to understand what this question is. Mashmo, what is the name? These are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They know the names with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu identified himself to their fathers. Rav Hirsch explains, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he has many, are the ways in which he reveals himself to us at particular points in time. At various times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to perceive different hanhagot, different behaviors, different ways in which he relates to us. And in understanding and trying to relate to those ways, we give that manner of interaction a name, Shem Hashem. And that will define the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that point in time. Moshe Rabbeinu over here, in hearing of this shlichut, of this mission that is being offered to him, understands something critical. He understands that this is actually a two-pronged mission. On the one hand, there is the mission of Moshe Rabbeinu to arrive before Paro and to save Klal Yisrael from this wicked dictator. That's the easy part. It's also, what Moshe Rabbeinu understands, the less significant role. The second integral part of the shlichut is not Moshe as the messenger of God to Paro, but it is rather Moshe as the messenger of God to the Jewish people. And in that mission, it is the role of Moshe Rabbeinu to prepare and form and guide Klal Yisrael towards accepting their tremendous task, which will be Liot La'am Hashem, to become the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the entire point of the Geulah, of the redemption. Not to save a downtrodden people from an evil dictator who oppresses them. It is to form those slaves into a glorious people of priests, of servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who again will take on the mantle of their forefathers in representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That's the more important and the more difficult task. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, in going to Paro, I know the message, I know the name. I know what to say to him. That's easy. But when Klal Yisrael say to me, Mashmo, how do we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says Moshe Rabbeinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do I say to them? How do I define to them that there will be an entirely new tafkid? There will be an entirely new role for them on this world stage of history. There will be a new relationship that they as a people will carve out with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this will change everything they've ever known, and it will change everything they will ever be. Because getting them out of Mitzrayim, talking to Paro, that's the easy part. But Moshe Rabbeinu understands that the critical part of his mission is not vis-a-vis Paro or Mitzrayim, but rather, it's vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. And his role in guiding them towards becoming the Am HaNivchar that will stand at the foot of Har Sinai and become the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in accepting the Torah. And even further, building the Mishkan to become a more permanent resting place for the revelation that took place in a very loud, glorious way at Har Sinai. I believe this understanding redefines Galut. I believe this understanding redefines Geulah. I believe this understanding redefines our own identity and our own mission. Because we, of course, as the children of these Jews, are a Galut people who are trying very hard to segue into the nation of Geula. For you and for me, in the year 2026, what does that mean? That means that Galut is not defined by the conditions, by the troubles, by the difficulties, by the oppression. Galut is defined by the confusion and the feeling of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if each of us are a Jew, trying to reenact the Geulah story, trying to carve out a place in my own life where I become a milkava, a receptacle, a vehicle, a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina in this world, then we do have to make that Shechina the point of the story. Rav Aaron Lapiansky, in a masterful article about Mashiach, published during COVID, when that was very much a topic, explains that we must be careful of not looking at the troubles or the hardships of Galut, whether it be COVID or finances or malevolent nations threatening our existence. We cannot see them as the disease. They are the symptoms of the disease. The troubles are the symptoms which point to the disease, which is a lack of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst us and our inability to connect to the Shechina in a meaningful way. The mashal he presented captures our conversation. He speaks of a young man marrying off his child, and the father of the bride had lost his own father and made a beautiful wedding, but his father wasn't there. Someone came over to him to wish him mazel tov at this simcha and said to him, "How beautiful the bride, how beautiful the family, how beautiful the decor, how beautiful the dancing. How sad your father's not here." The father of the bride nodded along and said, "It really is. Had he been here, he'd probably pay part of the bill." Ouch. When we look at the surrounding problems as the story of the Galut, ouch, we're missing the point of what's actually missing. We have to make the Shechina and creating a space in our own lives for it the story of how we will be the generation that will relive the Geula process, that we'll continue to learn about and study throughout the coming Parshiot and Sefer Shemot. I'm looking very much forward.